Radio Influence. The future is now.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Rainy Autumn Day Val and
Sunny Washington, D.C. Beans.
Oh, glad it's sunny somewhere.
It is. It's sunny. And you know what? I got to be honest. I loved your impression of me on Wednesday.
Really?
Yes. I thought it was very funny. I hope I don't sound like that.
I just did the best enthusiastic Beans I could squeak out at the moment. And I did squeak. I think my voice cracked.
Yeah.
So I can't go. You know, I used to be a soprano.
Did you?
I was in fourth and fifth grade. I played the lead role in a local production of an opera called Amal and the Night Visitors. My father played one of the three kings, and it's a Christmas opera. And I was Amal for two years in a row. And I still was able to hit those high notes.
You are an impressive specimen. You are an impressive specimen.
There's a lot you don't know about me.
The show on Wednesday was really good. I really liked it. And I got a couple of compliments about it from people.
Okay. Well, is there anything that you would like to have added to it? Or I don't know, because we haven't really spoken. You've been so busy. I was wondering what you thought, and I was hoping that it went over well with people. So was there anything that you would like to have added if you were here?
No, I mean, the only thing I would have added was some more of the Wallace impressions.
Oh, Mr. Frog. I tweeted that out the other day. I said, how is it that you establish a career in broadcast when you sound like a frog? He's the one I'm talking about.
Me and my mom listened to it on the car ride down, and we really liked it. It was really, really good. I was like, wow, we made it 50 minutes before I started listening. And I'm like, all right, this is going to be feisty. So it was, and it was great. So now, yes, I have a story to tell everybody, which is pretty exciting. So everybody knows now that President Trump has tested positive for coronavirus, and it apparently looks as though he is asymptomatic, along with Mrs. Trump, who was attacked unscrupulously attacked last night by her former best friend. So little of those recordings hurt the first lady that I almost think they're like in cahoots for her to release these recordings on purpose to help President Trump's wife. But
I know. It's what are you trying to do here? You're trying to show how much compassion Melania has.
I know.
We're going to go. She's so compassionate to the point she was almost angry.
We're going to go through that to get today. I have the clips that two of them that I heard. I'm like, really? So I was here. I'm here at Trump International Hotel in Washington, D.C. for the walkaway event this weekend. And we're working really hard, and I'm sitting in the lobby at a table all day with my laptop typing away. And all of a sudden, a bunch of people in suits walk by and sit down, and I look up, and who is it? Attorney General William Barr.
Hell yeah.
It was really cool. He sat there most of the day doing a little meeting of sorts. I don't know what they were talking about, but they were having a little meeting. And then when he got up to leave, I went over and introduced myself, and it was great.
How long did you talk?
Probably about 35 to 40 seconds.
Oh, I was going to say 35 to 40 minutes. I thought you were going to say.
I wish. That would be so much in that conversation. No, but I introduced myself. I said what I did. And I said, thank you so much for holding folks accountable. And then I said, we do actual journalism. And he laughed.
Hey, that must be music to his ears.
Yeah, I know. it was a good conversation.
What did he smell like? What kind of cologne did he use?
There was no wafting.
Okay. Okay, then.
Very tall man.
It really?
Yeah. Very tall.
I take him for like middle height and stocky.
Nope. Tall.
Okay.
Towered over me. But that's anyway, so we see him, and then this morning he tweets out the last time that AG Barr was with President Trump was on Saturday, and he's going to get tested. And I'm like, well, I was less than 6 feet away from him. So
hopefully the 40 seconds wasn't enough to transmit the Rona.
Well, yes. And I, of course, had my mask on, as is required in the lobby of Trump International, unless you're 6 feet down at the table, in which case you can remove your mask. But it was cool. It was a good experience. And you know, after that happened, you know, a few people went up to him after the fact and shook his hand and said hi. Well, I don't think anybody shook his hand, actually, but everybody said hello. And, you know, it was really
a couple,
cool.
couple people went up to him and mouth kissed him. And
yeah, they were
great.
Tonguing him in the middle of the lobby. It was
just, you know, it was a long line of people just mouth kissing William Barr.
So tonight is the women's event down at Sylvan Theater. If you're here in D.C., please take a trip over to Sylvan Theater and see this amazing event. We'll have Lara Trump, Katie Hopkins, Diamond and Silk, and Shamika Michelle's at this town hall this evening. And I will be hosting the live stream. So if you want to see my face, turn on Brendan's Twitter account or YouTube account and you'll see it proudly smiling at you. And last night, Frank, before we get down to business, we announced that we are having Uncover DC, Larry Schweikert and Rich Barris are hosting an election night broadcast, the likes of which you've probably not seen before, live from a studio in Phoenix, Arizona.
That's amazing. So yeah. How long are you guys going to be broadcasting for? An entire month probably, until we get the results?
That night, about 7 hours. And then the next day and the next day after that, if necessary. But we're excited about it. We've got a lot of really cool stuff lined up and we're looking forward to it. If you're a company out there and you'd like to sponsor what's probably going to be a very, very well watched broadcast, you can contact us at info@uncoverdc.com. And this stream is going to be available for, like, if you, Frank, wanted to broadcast the stream.
Yeah.
We would give it to you to broadcast.
Okay, so then maybe I'll simulcast it and I'll keep checking in with you guys and as I'm doing my own thing, because I was definitely going to be live on election night, as I usually am. And since Rich will be tied up with you, it'd be good just to have an analysis from pollsters like him in some way. So that'll be good.
Yeah, do a picture in picture. Ooh, guess who's standing next to me?
Who?
Mama Beans. Say hi, Mama Beans.
Hi, guys.
Mama Beans, thank you so much again for your wonderful baby gifts. You're so generous. Lauren and I love everything.
You can hear it?
Yes. Oh. You're so welcome. I can't wait to meet her in person.
Oh, you're going to love her. You're going to love her.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't love her? All right. So then I think that's all the announcements I have for today. So we can get started on actual news now, which is what everybody comes here for in the first place.
All right.
All right. Great. So let's just start with the Melania Trump stuff. What was the big, I mean, so this Vanity Fair person, you know, former event planner, whatever she did, became very close with the Trump family, was an advisor in there, was basically from what I read, helped with the inauguration. And there was some question about how money was spent. And she says they tried to pin it on her, or I don't even know, but she got jaded. And I guess she started recording her personal conversations with the First Lady of the United States, talking to her as a friend, right?
I guess so. I guess so. It's secret recordings, you know. So that was the only context I got for it when I first saw the story pop up on my Twitter feed.
Well, here's one about kids at the border. And I mean, this is just, I don't understand what this is supposed to do other than make people realize that she gives a crap about kids at the border. Here.
Police shelter.
Hold on.
All these kids that I met, they were they're here in the shelters because they were brought by it through coyotes, the people or trafficking. Oh, and that's why they put them in jail. And the kids that they go in shelters, and the way they take care of them, it's, you know, they even said, the kids, they say, wow, I will have my own bed, I will sleep on the bed, I will have a cabinet for my clothes. It's so sad to hear it, but they didn't have that in their own countries,
right?
They sleep on the floor, they are, you know, they're fed, they are taking care nicely there. But, you know, yeah, they are not with parents. It's sad. But when they come here alone or with coyotes or illegally, you know, you need to do something.
Right. You know, I when this came out, first of all, I remember one of the things that was on Twitter with, as far as the stupid context that they try to give things.
Melania tapes.
The Melania tapes. And she's commenting and she critical of the president's family separation policy. No, A, Obama's separation policy,
which
Obama's
she mentioned.
Clamps. But even beyond that, this was something that is logical that Obama was doing. You know, when you have these children coming across the border, and we know what the high rate of either them coming alone or they're being sent with strangers, they're being abused along the way. And of course, they're traveling across large expanses of deserts, or they're inside of box trucks and things like that. For them to be able to be in custody of U.S. Border Patrol, given a bed, given a meal, given some toys to distract themselves with until you figure out who belongs to whom. That's the best conditions they've been living in for forever, how long they've been on the road.
Yeah.
I would hope that all presidents would do that and see the merit in it. I mean, even though you don't want to do it, but then again, you also don't want parents sending their children on these dangerous treks to pretty much invade a foreign land.
Can you imagine sending 8-year-old Aurora and saying, good luck, honey. I hope you make it over.
Or sending her over with birth control because you know that she's going to get sexually assaulted along the way, or writing a cell phone number on the back of her shirt so that once she gets there, there's somebody that could be called to come and claim her.
Ridiculous.
I mean, so people below south of the border, they are using children as grappling hooks. So that they can climb like it's an old Adam West Batman. So they can climb over a tall wall. That's exactly what they're doing. They use children as grappling hooks, and they don't care the kind of danger they put them in. And yeah. For anybody to go after any American president who puts in a common sense practice of sorting them out until you know who belongs to whom, even if they were traveling with their parents, that is still child endangerment in my eyes.
It is. It's horrible. Here's another one. Here's another one where she talks about liberals, which I wish we could see more of her like this in public. She's very quiet. I think if she spoke out more like this, people would love her even more. Here.
He's like, oh my God, I'm driving liberals crazy. That's for sure. And they deserve it. You understand?
I know.
And everybody's like, oh my God, this is the worst. This is the worst. They are crazy. Okay.
Yes, they are. Thank you,
yeah.
Melania.
Yeah. And if you want any proof, 2 days or a day and a half after these Melania tapes are released, I really, really would suggest anybody who doesn't have to prepare a show like you or I do stay away from it today.
It's bad.
The worst is on display today.
The worst of humanity is out there. Even people that you would expect, you know, I was surprised Rachel Maddow didn't have a bad thing to say. She was very, you know, no matter who you are, we should pray for them to get better, you know, blah, blah, blah. But
yeah, with her fingers crossed behind her back.
Probably. But, you know, I mean, some of these people, like what they're saying is just here. Well, here's another Melania clip. Hold on.
I'm complacent. I'm the same like him. I support him. I don't say enough. I don't do enough.
No.
Where I am, I'm working like an ass.
I know.
The Christmas stuff that, you know, who gives a f*** about Christmas stuff and decoration, but I need to do it, right?
Yeah, but correct. 100%. You have no choice.
And then I do it, and I say that I'm working on Christmas, planning for the Christmas, and they said, oh, what about the children? They were separated. Give me a break. So where they were saying anything when Obama did that?
I know.
I cannot go. I was trying to get the kid reunited with the mom. I didn't have a chance. Needs to go through the process and through the law.
But here's my thing. Hear what you just said, but instead of that, your messaging, you were so loved.
They would not do the story. We put it out. They would not do the story.
I'm telling you.
Is she crying?
No.
They would not do the story because they would not do the story because they are against us because they are liberal media. Yeah, if I go to Fox, they won't do the story. I don't want to go to Fox.
She wasn't crying. She was just saying, they won't do it. I'm trying to show them. They won't do the story. She's talking about how she was working on trying to get, you know, some of these kids reunited. She's like, but what are we going to do? We can't cut loopholes just because, you know, she's basically said she was frustrated. I don't know what this biatch on the right side of the screen here next to a stupid Anderson Cooper thinks she's proving to anybody by showing that the First Lady is frustrated with the ridiculous contradictions. The horrible leftist media, like everybody else in the country, like, but you were so loved. And look what you've done. You've ruined yourself, Melania. I mean, give me a break. And the little nose on this one, I just want to.
Little damn nose people.
I stopped listening to the rest of this after her clip. Let's see. Let's hear her.
It's so interesting. I mean, one, there's to hearing her being hostile toward, you know, decorating the White House for Christmas, you know, I certainly doesn't jive with, you know, the Fox whole idea. I mean, if we're talking about a war on Christmas.
Look, bitching about having to go through the process of decorating the entire White House for Christmas when there's other things like saving kids at the border you'd rather be focusing on is no American out there. Is like, okay, well, it's time to deck. I mean,
Tracy, you always remember Anderson Cooper and his ilk. They're having coffee talk. He's having coffee and cake with a small gaggle of people that watch his network, and they want to hang out with like-minded idiots. That's it. It's not new. This is what I would hear from my father and my cousins every summer, winter season in the 90s when they would get together at night and talk about things that were going on either in town or within certain cliques in our families. It's just coffee gossip. I bet
your dad, there have been a few years where your dad was like, oh, it's time for Christmas.
Absolutely time for, especially if you know anything about the Christmases my father would put on.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's got to be some years where he was like, okay.
Oh, he started preparing for Christmas the day after the day that the Halloween decorations came down.
Yeah.
Because he had to start preparing the construction. I mean, people don't know.
Need to understand, like, Frank's channel around the Christmas holiday is really somewhere you need to be hanging out because.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I had a relative of mine who sadly passed away. His birthday was in early December and he was known for his Christmas lights. It was a family tradition of ours. We would go there every year. He would have thousands and thousands of lights to the point where he had so many of those figurines and stuff. My sister and I would like stand outside at night and pretend to be moving dolls and fool people. Like people would drive by and think we were actually dolls. And
well, that's the best part is because my father, there was never any plastic figurines on the front lawn. My father, but for example, I think in 1994, he did Christmas in Rockefeller Center. And in Christmas in Rockefeller Center, he did the figures that he would use as ice skaters in Rockefeller Center's little ice skating rink. All of them were life size, either children or men and women. And he would carve them out of blocks of wood. And then he would they would be two dimensional. So but on the face of it. It would be he would paint in the faces. He would use different types of plastics to create the clothes, and he put scarves on them. So when he actually created Tavern on the Green or something, and he had this full size horse and buggy.
Yep.
My brother and I would sit inside of the carriage sometimes and just strike a pose as this long procession of cars would go by.
We did the same thing. Never knew. Oh my God! What are the chances?
Oh, wait, you wait, because now that I have all of my family's VHS history digitized, this Christmas, the holiday shows are going to be like no other.
Well, I can't wait for that. And you know, what he used to say, my now deceased relative who I loved so much was in like, I don't know, it had to have been early October. He would have to start getting ready because he launched this December 1st on his birthday.
Yeah.
The news would come and it was like a big deal. And he would come and his son and him would sometimes complain. Oh, Lord. But it became a tradition that they had to do every year. And
oh, yeah.
Listen, I don't care. Like, whatever she's, I wish she would come out and just tell the media to F off. And this little sniveling woman sitting next to her too, because any of you girls out there who have been in a relationship with a woman where you're very good friends, and then for some reason something goes south, you see out of that other person things you never thought they were capable of. And you were like, how did I not realize what evil, hurt, like harmful people they are? Every woman out there has been backstabbed by another woman just like this before. It happened to me. It happened to me. I'll tell the story real quick. Several years ago, we had a group on Facebook. A couple of very close friends were in it, and people we'd known for a very long time. And we were just chatting back and forth, and we'd do stories. And like, this one chick would research, and she was too afraid to put herself out there. So she'd give the research to me and I'd add to it, and I'd do the story. And then in the story, I'd say, you know, somebody anonymous helped me with this. There's a team. Thank you so much. Blah, blah, blah. Well, fast forward several years, manipulated messages and DMs that were never meant to be seen by anybody come flooding the sphere from this woman that I had considered a very good friend. It was a smack in the face like I'd never experienced. I couldn't believe it. My heart sank. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe that this is happening right now. It's horrible. That's what Melania is going through right now.
Mm.
Unless it's all a big scheme.
Yeah. Bunch of mean girls nonsense.
Horrible.
I'll get you. Why?
She'll see. She'll see. I'm going to go to the media and taint her right before election day.
What's this? And speaking of the border, what is it? I see another caravan, about 5,000 people, all with face masks around their neck, making its way toward the southern border again. Right in time for another election.
Yeah. Right in time. There's I don't know. I was just scrolling through and I saw a tweet by Ned Ryan. He said, folks, hold on. I think I retweeted it. Oh, folks, we've got 3 months left in 2020. Meteor striking Earth or alien invasion are absolutely on the table.
look at this. And just talking about the sickness that we're watching from everybody. The Washington Post had to delete a tweet that they put on out there late last night. The opinion piece was called, "Imagine What It Would Be Like to Never Have to Think About Trump Again."
It's very easy. You don't have to.
Yeah.
Take care of it on your own. You know?
Fantasizing.
Fantasizing. Seriously. So let's go over a couple things. You know, we did you did the whole debate thing, but a couple things happened. Like Wednesday, as I was driving here, Jim Comey was sitting in front of the Judiciary Committee. First of all, Lindsey Graham basically put me to sleep in his opening statement. He's like, oh, we're here now. We're going to talk to Jim Comey.
But he's going to get to the bottom of this, though. He's going to get to the bottom of this.
There is no doubt. When I go into the voting booth to vote, I am voting for Lindsey Graham, because this is his counterpart that's running against him is just an absolute no.
Doug Jones.
But we need to. We need to start primarying these dudes. We need to do it. We need to get people. Like yesterday, there was some guy who was saying, we can't let this happen again. We can't have candidates like this ever again. There needs to be a bipartisan commission of appointed ones that will choose who's going to be president. But that's what he said on national television. I think I have the clip. Would you like to hear it, Frank?
Sure.
If I have it.
If you can locate the clip, I would love to listen to it.
Here it is.
Just come clean and say, yep, these are my creditors. You say because we don't know this information, it makes him the most vulnerable president in our history.
What?
He is the most vulnerable president in our history in terms of compromise and potential.
This is Frank Figliuzzi, the former assistant director for counterintelligence at the FBI. So the same role of precept. Let's listen.
Exposure to those who want to help him dig out of his financial pit in return for a price. And that's, I think, where the national security problem comes in. That price that they would ask.
But wait, I'm not very good at the financial aspects of things, but I know all about being under or over leveraged. When you control $10 billion worth of property, and you have a couple of million dollars worth of debt, loans, mortgages.
$400 million.
$400 million.
Yeah.
When you $450 million Do you know how massively under-leveraged that is?
You know, these people think the American people are stupid and they don't understand.
I mean, think about if you never played Monopoly before, and this is how I actually learned about it, by learning how to play Monopoly. When you have Boardwalk and you have all these other spots on the Monopoly board over there, and all of a sudden you're cash poor, you can trade in, or you can actually go and mortgage your properties to get the cash equivalent and make yourself a little bit more liquid. And while you have that over going on, since the bank technically owns the property, you're not collecting rent on it. It's a trade-off. So you know, based on what you have here, there's things that you can do to get a little bit more liquid. When you talk, I mean, this is in a common person, common American's standpoint, this is like owning a 3 or 4 bedroom home somewhere, having a modest salary, having a little bit of savings, having a retirement, having some good whatever, and having about $5,000 worth of combined credit card debt. It's
stupid.
Yeah, and nope. To call it a national security threat, why? Because this guy is – because he's taken risks in his private life, because everybody else that's in public life has never put any goddamn risk into anything to create real jobs, to do real things. They think that if you look at a man's life who has spent an entirety of it taking risks, being part of ventures that either took off greatly, that ended in with mediocre results, or failed outright, they think that that is a measure – of some kind of a volatile person, when that's really just a measure of the exact formula that makes a society and its economy work. People taking risks, and he's under leveraged. So what are you talking about? National security threat.
Agreed. I just have a little bit of a tip for people, though. If I'm playing you in Monopoly and you mortgage a property, you're completely screwed. Don't try to win. Just give up and leave.
Well, once you start mortgaging properties, you're already in a bad spot. That's like last ditch efforts.
Yeah,
anyway.
Once you start mortgaging Boardwalk, or like even the crap properties, Baltic on the green, on the brown, you slap a mortgage on one of your properties, I will eat you alive in Monopoly. I'm telling you, I beat my husband every time. He cannot win a game of Monopoly against me.
Anyway. You guys play one-on-one?
We do with one. Yeah, we play one on one. And sometimes we add in the computer player and we name him something like Dildo Baggins or something crazy. Like,
OK. Yeah, I was going to say you need at least a third player.
Sometimes we get really crazy and we make the computer player expert and see what happens to us. When it's a crazy night at the Beans household, we put the computer player on expert.
I know. Anyway, we're feeling a little frisky tonight. We're going on expert with the Monopoly AI.
After we have to get coffee to stay up for the date night in and of itself. Oh, Lord. Here we go.
For is that he makes decisions in their best interest, not in our best interest. There's also another layer to this, which is that when you're this entangled with Russia and the former Soviet bloc, you're going to run smack into organized crime figures. In fact, in my work in counterintelligence in the FBI, we often couldn't tell the difference between ex-Russian.
A man like this, to put a man like this in anything with intelligence in it is ridiculous. First of all, can you just go back to the beginning of his statement and say, when you're this entangled with Russia, where do you see that? In fact, with this nothing story from the New York Times and this attack stuff, the one thing that we were able to confirm again
is that there was no entanglements with Russia.
There's no entanglement. There's actually not even – it even blew up the whole Michael Cohen nonsense. There's no Michael Cohen. There's no Russia. What are you talking about? This is just a look into the life of a businessman.
It's something else. The other day I went down my street and I looked to my left and I looked to my right and I see homemade signs that say Don the Con didn't pay his taxes, adulterer, racist, misogynist. I'm like, this is really happening right now.
Yeah, people have lost it. They've lost it.
And you know what? Just a note. Spell things right if you're going to write them on signs.
Oh, just a note. Never write anything off again. If you ever write off a tank of gas that you use for a business purpose, anything, if you write off anything ever again, shame on you.
Beholden to Russia.
Shame on you if you ever write anything off again. That's the IRS's money. You should love the IRS and you should love your patriotic duty of giving away all your money to people who don't even give a shit about you.
And before we get into the second half of that, the show today is brought to us by a very special, special, special company, Simply Safe. Here's the thing about home security companies. Most of them trap you with like these high prices, tricky contracts, lousy customer support. So while there are a lot of options out there, there's only one no-brainer, Simply Safe. Simply Safe is super easy to set up. Everything is very straightforward. I did it myself. It's really, you know, people say that all the time when you hear these commercials and then you do it and you're like, oh, wow. It has everything you need to protect your home with none of the drawbacks of traditional home security, an arsenal of sensors and cameras to blanket every room, window and door tailored specifically for your home, professional monitoring day and night. You could set it up yourself in under an hour. You just peel and stick, peel and stick, peel and stick. That's what you do, Frank.
I know. I love peeling and sticking.
All of it starts at $15 a month. And I'm not the only one who thinks Simply Safe is great. U.S. News and World Report named it the best overall home security of 2020. Make sure you guys head to simplysafe.com/darktolight and get a free HD camera just for our listeners here. That's simplysafe.com/darktolight. Make sure that you guys go there. Tell them that we sent you. Frank and Beans from Dark to Light sent you right on over and support our sponsors.
Absolutely. They even send you a really nifty lawn sign.
Yes. Yes. The lawn.
So people know not to mess with y'all.
Mm-hmm. Let's listen to this guy. Let's finish listening to this guy.
This president paying more to foreign nations in taxes than he is to the United States. How does he cover his debt? Who's doing that for him? What's the Deutsche Bank connection? Why are there so many?
There is no Deutsche Bank connection.
Wow, he's such a deep thinker. Thank God we have guys like this in counterintelligence because they ask all the pertinent questions.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Golf course is losing so much money and why the continued purchase of those properties. So I suggest this, Stephanie.
Why would he continue to expand? Why would he continue to expand his holdings?
Yeah. Why would he continue to try to make more money than Russian?
What? He couldn't have just been happy with one golf course. He needed 10.
You know, most Americans don't have any golf courses.
I know. Why should he have 10 if I don't even have a half a golf course?
I don't even have a putt-putt in my backyard. Here, listen, this is the key part right here. Former director of counterintelligence, listen. And people make fun of us when we say there's a shadow government.
Those properties. So I suggest this, Stephanie, we've got to have a national discussion about how we vet a presidential candidate. We screwed this up, whether it's the media not digging deeply enough, whether it's a time to have a discussion about a bipartisan committee that demands tax returns, make that a requirement or exposes financial pictures for candidates. But we got this wrong and this can't happen again.
You know what we got? No. They're talking about digging into presidential candidates. The entire FBI and the Clinton campaign and Fusion GPS were and Nellie Orr and Bruce Orr. They were digging through this man's life the entire campaign. Are you kidding? He's the most vetted man in the history of mankind, outside of General Flynn.
And nobody steers more contracts to friends and family than Congress. So if you want to talk about opening up the books on everybody that takes an oath and becomes a representative or a member of our national governing body, then it should be Congress. It should be the House of Representatives and the Senate. Let's see how quickly this idea about a national conversation on this matter goes away once you start saying that we're going to open up the books and completely scour the background of people like Dianne Feinstein and her husband, or Nancy Pelosi and her husband.
Didn't Feinstein's husband just get in trouble for doing something with a college admissions scam?
He was involved in it, yeah.
Yeah, so spare me. You're all corruptocrats. You're all jerks. There's only one man in government right now in a high position of power who's not corrupt, and it's the damn president, which I never thought I'd say ever again.
I know. And you know, you made a poignant point there that I had I had riffed on a little bit last night, too, when we were talking about this, these congressional hearings that pretty much revealed the government has a hand in all in protests that are going on around the world. And obviously to not think that they don't have the same kind of a Gladio kind of a hand to the things that are going on in the streets in the U.S. is just ridiculous. But as far as the whole deep state, people denying that there's a deep state, I think the real problem here, Tracy, is that in many respects, the revolution has already been fought and won by that deep state, that the deep state is the sole reality right now, not a problem inside of the machinery of a great republic. The machine underneath the veneer of democratic society in the U.S., Europe, and the rest of the Western world, that's the real problem there. The deep state is that machine underneath the veneer of a democratic society.
You know what's crazy?
And that's why...
Go ahead.
I think that's why people laugh when someone suggests that the republic is being subverted by a shadow government, because the shadow government has been normalized for so many generations already.
Right.
This is why there's such agony and writhing when someone like Donald Trump proposes any action that would restore any quasi-constitutional norm. And you know, to the deep state, American tradition is insurgency. The tenets of the Proud Boys, for example, that I didn't even know about until this week. I just read it the other night. I mean,
there was a press conference between the founder whoever's running the Proud Boys and a Black Lives Matter president chapter in I forget where they were. They did a joint event, which was pretty crazy to see a Black Lives Matter person standing next to a Proud Boy saying these guys are not white supremacists.
Well, listen, if you listen to the ADL and the ACLU, they would tell you that they're white supremacists. If you listen to the ADL and the ACLU, they would tell you that Oath Keepers are right wing extremist groups when they have showed up to make sure that protesters are safe, even if they know that the protesters are they want Marxism to be installed across the country. So it's.
To your point you were just making about the shadow government, which was really well done, I was thinking to myself, there's going to be thousands of people here this weekend, and I get to speak at this march on Saturday. And I'm like, what am I going to say that could impact all of these people in a way that's a little bit different than what everybody else would say? And one of the things that I was going to kind of go down the road of is, you know, the civil unrest that we're seeing in the country right now, and these, you know, Marxist organizations that are outwardly prompting violence. This is not the picture. It is a very small little piece of a puzzle that has been in place for a very, very long time that is now realizing it is kind of on its death throes. It's either time to kick it into full gear now or lose it forever. And it ties right into globalism, and it ties into everything. And the media played a huge role in this. Huge. Media and education. If they didn't have those two factions, they would never have been able to get away with as much as they have so far.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Crazy. Yeah, absolutely. It's like you said, it's either they have to kick it into full gear right now or lose it forever. And the whole thing is that if they do kick it into full gear and they do seize what they want, even then, when they win, it's a temporary win, because the ideas that they have, they run contrary to human nature. Human nature is a free spirited thing. Mm-hmm. It is self-serving in a healthy way. It is family focused. It is completely unstable, and it will peter out under any other circumstance. It's almost like communism is the nuclear war that is slowly that destroys everything around it, and only after the radioactive isotopes go through their shelf life, the Earth starts replenishing itself, and nature always restores the balance.
Yeah.
The things that these people stand by, they run contrary to what is natural.
You're right. And it's true. And the scales have to tip. And it's been far too long that they've been balanced in the unnatural favor.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it really has. Like,
they lose. They lose either way.
Yeah. There's no other way. It's like you said, it's just the way things work. Thanks. bring up sugar. Mm-hmm. Oh, Mom brought me coffee.
Good for you.
Yeah. I'm going to make it right now as we talk. I'm going to put all the sugar in because I like it. Plastic straw, paper straw. Damn it.
What the hell do you need a straw for?
To stir, you know? You stir. Oh, okay. You stir with the straw. I'm tired. I went to bed at like 1 and I got up at 5:40. So I'm with you, Frank. What time did you go to bed last night?
I went to bed around, finally got the baby to bed around, I don't know, I think 12:30. And then woke up around 4:45 and she, I don't know, she just fusses. It takes forever to get her back to sleep, but we got her back to sleep around 6. So just an hour and 15 minutes of a diaper change and a bottle, and then, you know, 9 years of burping.
Yep.
And it's just, oh, God.
You know when William was a baby, he never wanted to sleep in his bassinet or anything. So
she hates the bassinet.
So he slept in his car seat for like the first 8 months of his life, in his car seat. He
whatever
loved
works.
It.
If she fell asleep on, it was so frustrating the other night. She fell asleep on Lauren's chest, and Lauren's just like, prop me up with pillows. I'm just staying here.
No, you got to do it. You got to. I did that a couple times. You know, you freak out, but in your sleep, you know that there's a baby there, and you'd take precautions. We used to be able to actually like put him right next to the bed. He was right there. It actually worked out really well because he just loved it in that car seat. I mean, there was no taking him out of it. Loved it.
Yeah, she's gone for several rides so far. She's slept like the dead the whole time. So if it ever gets really bad, I'll just put her in the car and drive around until she just knocks out.
Yeah, that always does it. The car ride. Car ride always does it. So the Proud Boys got their day in the sun. I was absolutely shocked to see the Grahams and the Cottons of the world come out, of the world come out and say, well, he needs to clarify. And President Trump needs to clarify his white supremacy. First of all, the person who brought up the Proud Boys was Joe Biden. It wasn't Chris Wallace. A lot of people have missed this.
Nah. The person who brought it up was somebody in Joe Biden's ear.
Well,
Joe Biden doesn't know. Joe Biden doesn't know who the Proud Boys is. Well, somebody said, say Proud Boys.
To be honest, like he said good luck as he started his first answer, and he wasn't supposed to say that out loud. He wasn't supposed to say good luck out loud. I don't know. Have you ever seen Frank Caliendo do his George Bush impression?
Yeah.
You know how in his skit that he does on like, I think it was like Jay Leno. And he's like, oh, did that come out? That was supposed to be an inside word. There's two kinds of words, inside words and outside words.
I never saw that one, but I've seen him do all that. That's when he used to have that's the longstanding gig on Sunday morning football.
Yes.
He'd do John Madden and he'd do Bush sometimes.
Yeah. So this is what it reminded me of, because clearly he was wired up. People have figured it out now what this device was. They never had a shot of his left side where anyone could see his ear, and that thing was, and he says right before he starts, he says good luck, and then he starts his answer. Like, I was hoping somebody posted a tweet like, I hope that some 15-year-old hacks into Joe Biden's microphone and starts reading off the lyrics to WAP.
I know. I love the Ron Burgundy comparisons. It's true. It's true. He's like, I'm Ron Burgundy? Who put a question mark at the end of the teleprompter again?
Oh, there's another. Hold on. So the Proud Boys were brought up by whoever was controlling, puppeteering Joe Biden at the time, not Chris Wallace. And so President Trump said, Proud Boys, fine. You stand by and stand. I know you were very upset that he said stand down and stand by. Yeah. And everybody, I agree with everything that you said. Like, I wished I was up there debating for President Trump, because he could have really easily, very calmly dismantled Joe Biden, him into pieces.
You want to talk about diversion or evasion. You don't even have to evade. It's just that it's a loaded question. You have Chris Wallace up there trying to get Donald Trump to denounce things that are not happening.
Yeah, I know.
With his supporters.
I know.
His supporters, anybody who's casting a vote for Donald Trump, whether they actually like him or not. They are usually the types of people who believe that there is something ready to be salvaged from the country. Though, so they don't want to burn it down. They're trying to try to hold this thing together. The other side literally wants to destroy and replace it. That's the whole reason that when they see a building burning, a cop car burning, when they see that, when they're looting, when they're destroying people's businesses, they are attacking capitalism. They're attacking and they're watching. It's a cathartic thing for people who believe that America needs to be destroyed, that they are, in fact, destroying a tiny piece of it, that they could at least say that they did something in this fight. It's not coming from the right. It's just not coming.
It's not.
There.
And that's what, you know, he did say that very clearly. And, you know, I'm sure this is the thing. I listened to Dan Bongino's analysis of the debate, by the way, breaking right now, a very gracious statement from Joe Biden. I don't know what this, if it's, you know, what's coming after it. Goodness knows. But as of this moment in time, 10:51 a.m. on 10/2/2020, we have Jill and I send our thoughts to the president, to President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump for a swift recovery. We will continue to pray for the health and safety of the president and his family.
Well, that's nice.
I mean, thank you, God. It wasn't some ridiculous, underhanded nonsense. Just thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe Biden, whoever runs your Twitter account. But I was listening to Bongino explain the debate and why he like, and he made some good points, but at the same time, I'm saying, but if nobody understood the points that you're making at the time of the debate, they didn't work. Like getting Joe Biden to say things where the left will now denounce him, like you lost the left. It's true. You contradicted yourself, but the like you said, they're willing to lie. They don't care what they have to do. So I didn't like really think that Bongino had it straight, because if that worked, all of the Trump supporters out there would be like, ah, we get it. And it just didn't happen. Like,
yeah, no, I understand that. You know, well, look at all the things that he had to denounce. In order to what? In order to survive the. And he survived. I mean, he got beat up a bit. Trump definitely won in my eyes, but yeah. Biden got beat up a bit, but he wasn't thrown into the wood chipper like I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what? I mean, these people are political jihadists. They don't care about lying to your face. I mean, Barack Obama told everybody, you can, if you want your doctor, you can keep your doctor.
Literally, I know they don't care.
They
I know.
Take it all away. They don't care. And he got reelected.
I know.
They don't care.
No.
So the media is dragging this guy across the finish line. As far as the whole stand by and stand down, stand by, stand back stuff. The thing that really got me pissed off there was that, why the hell would the president pretty much allow himself to be a puppet for them?
Right.
He was pretty much saying, what do you want me to say? I'll say it right now. You know, and I joked about it later on last night. I joked about it. If the person whispering in Joe Biden's ear had said, denounce Santa and his reindeer, Donald Trump would have said, Donner, Blitzen, stand back and stand down. Stand by. What does he know about the Proud Boys? Nothing. I don't know why that was the stance he took.
I think
tell
he was
me
just
what you
trying
wanted to say.
I think honestly, like the way I took it, he was like, what now? I think he was trying to make the point. What do you want me to denounce? Say it. I'll denounce it. Like, being
sarcastic. I get that. I get that. But when you and I see things like that, even though we see that and we get it, and a lot of people that listen to the show, we all know that he's just being like, OK, well, what do you want me to denounce now? I'll denounce everything you want right now. Give me the list. I understand that there is an antagonistic kind of a sarcastic edge to that. But on the other hand, we know that anything he said, that this conversation is going to create a soundbite that will occupy the media for a week. And it has.
Well, not anymore.
Well, I know.
But seriously, yes, that's absolutely true. But I think at the same time, you know, there were other ways. Like, he was very articulate in certain instances too, where he was talking about, don't tell me, like Joe Biden was like 3 seconds away from saying that they were going to haul him out of the White House in handcuffs, or like put him in a military tribunal, or even, God forbid, worse. He was like, and that's not going to happen this time, because if he tries it, and I'm like, say it, Joe, say it. And somebody like reeled him back in, because he's like, you've got the wrong man at the wrong time tonight, Trump. And I'm like, oh, Lord. And his meds were wearing off by the end. And you barely made it. Barely made it by the skin of his teeth.
He must have been sleeping literally the entire day.
Mm-hmm.
They probably had him on propofol like Michael Jackson all day.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they did. I could, there's no way. Like, he was too lucid. He's never like that. Never. It was very interesting. Like, I'm pretty surprised that he was able to keep his answer straight with all the crosstalk that was going on, which is another reason why I'm starting to think that might have been by design. Because if you're hearing three different sounds coming at you and you have someone in your ear telling you what to say, it's very hard to keep track of that if someone's talking over you all the time.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, he didn't really give that much anything anyway. I mean, he was saying things like, I know how to do the job. I know how to get the job done. And then Chris Wallace gave him like 5 to 7 minute breathers by debating with the president about climate change.
His campaign, too, had just come out and said that is him in front of the troops. And he literally lied through his teeth to the American people. That's just a lie. That never happened. Like, he said every time he was challenged with something he's done in the past, he said it was a lie and it never happened. And I'm like, this is his instructions. No matter what it is, because he'll never be held to account, say that it's a lie and it never happened and you'll be through it. Because no one's going to hold him to the fire. No one.
Yeah. No one sleeps better in this country than a Democrat politician.
Yep.
You don't have to worry about waking up and facing a hellstorm scandal almost any day of the week, especially if you're running for president. They're dragging him across the finish line here.
Until you end up like Andrew Gillum or like, you know, something like that happens to you. Like,
oh,
you're,
yeah. Well,
you're
what, when you're when you're physically found, you know,
naked
in a meth den with gay prostitutes there. When you're found physically in a room like that, it's very hard to. I mean, what are you going to say? I tripped. Goodness. I fell inside of the hotel.
I laughed. I cried. I had a ball.
My gosh.
That's it for today, Frank.
Okay.
We'll be back on Monday. I come home Sunday. I'm home on Monday. I leave Tuesday morning. You're alone on Wednesday and Friday. No, I'm with you Wednesday, not Friday.
So Friday I have to do it by myself.
You're alone on Friday.
All right. That'll be okay.
Yeah.
Great.
But Christy Noem is coming to AMP. Just last night they said that they're screening not only Trump Card, which is Dinesh D'Souza's film, but there will be a screening of Plot Against the President.
Wow. I mean, the way they converted that the book into a into a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
That I have to watch. I'm so much better at absorbing visuals at this point.
Well,
because I've listened to the book on audio. It's been great, but I would love to see this turned into a doc.
I mean, you know, Lee and I talked about it. And he said, you know, he's not really involved in it at all. But he said that from what he's seen, they've done a great job. So I don't know.
Would he give? I would love to see. How much would it be? I would love to have permission to play something like that in full on my channel.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. He's not nothing to do with it. It's like some former Hollywood, some bigwig Hollywood person. I don't know who isn't part of the crew in Hollywood anymore. I don't know who
This is the thing. If I ever made a documentary in this day and age, obviously you want to be able to make it available and whatnot. But I would also make it so that people with certain size channels or people certain circles that have really nice audiences. It is so endearing at this point to allow everybody to have mass viewings together.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to sit around in your living room and watch the same thing with a couple thousand other people. It's a really cozy experience there. I think that especially with the chat room environment and there's that would be really great for people. If I ever made a documentary, that would have to be a part of the dissemination of it. To get it on out to certain people who are willing to screen it to their people, their audience.
Well, it's been happening a lot more with books, to be honest. Like Svetlana gave us a chapter of her book to publish at Uncover DC. Breitbart has had chapters of books that are about to come out. I'm talking to see if we can maybe get a chapter from Rich Higgins of his book to put out. And that's why we're doing the election night thing the way we are, so that it can be as widely dispersed as possible. So I agree. But so Matt Gaetz, Roger Stone, Bernie Kerik, Dinesh will be there. Kristi Noem. There'll be more surprises in the next couple days, too. But that's it. That's it for today. That's it for today. You have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with...
Rainy Friday Fall Day Val and...
And Beans. You can find us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, RadioInfluence.com, Spotify, and we will see you on Monday.
Later.
Radio Influence strives to bring you excellence in podcasting. We work with personalities like TV chef Brian Duffy, radio personalities like Ian Beckles, news and political pundits like independent journalists Frank and Tracy Beans, experts from the sports world like veteran football scout and coach Chris Landry, pro wrestling personality David Penzer, MMA experts Jason Floyd and Daniel Galvan, and strength and conditioning coach Jeff Crochelle. If you're looking for food, sports, music, entertainment, politics, no matter the topic, Radio Influence has something for everyone. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.